I mean, we talk about crime all the time, and your perception of crime right now, ladies and gentlemen, if I brought up the fact that crime in America, what's going to be in the community of Fargo, for example, what's going to be your thoughts? Up, down, vicious, all of that. You know, there's stats. They keep track. You know where it's at. And I saw the report from the city of Fargo. Chief Dave Zabolski is in studio with me right now. And I want to talk about that 2023 report. Chief, good to have you back on News and Views.
Great to be here, Joel.
Let's just go over it. Tell people what your 2023 annual report has showed.
Well, in terms of crime, both our property and persons crimes are down. That's 2 years in a row now, and there was a slight uptick in crimes against society. And so to understand what that is those are proactive arrests that that our officers make. So if I arrest someone for a drug violation or having a weapon that they aren't legally able to possess, that's a crime against society. So it counts as a crime in the total, but those are good proactive arrests, and that's exactly what we want our officers to do. So the crimes against, I guess you would say, normal victims, day-to-day victims, burglaries, violent crimes, almost across the board, all down.
Why would you guess that? Why would you say that crime's down? Is it you've got more people out there on patrol? Is it, I mean, do you have any idea of why there's less crime in your city than before?
Well, number one, we've got a really great city here. And I've said this before, for a city our size, and I know, again, it's contextual with people who might have lived here a long time, our crime is extremely low compared to cities with even less population than us in other areas. So that doesn't mean we're satisfied with where we're at. I think it's a combination. We've got great community support and cooperation. You know, one of the big crime salvation factors is cooperation in the community. We've got people helping us and steering us in the right direction. If you look at the last contact we had with the Arbors, we've got people in there helping us out. But we also got an extremely diligent, competent, and committed police force. And we've got folks out there every day taking the calls. We've got our detectives and investigators following up on these crimes. We've done, over the past several years, a number of reorganization, restructuring of our what we do and how we do it, trying to be more efficient, bringing more technology. And I think it's a combination of all of those things. And this is the kind of trend that we want to keep seeing, you know, keep going. But off the top of my head, I think that's what I would attribute it to at this juncture.
Give me some of the specific stats in the report, if you would.
Sure. Our arson's down 38%. Motor vehicle theft's down 18%. And I would just caveat that with, you know, if everyone just bought a couple $100 auto starter for their car and stopped leaving the keys in the car, we would bring motor vehicle theft down substantially. I mean, it's well over probably 60% of our auto thefts are where people leave keys in the car and then would-be criminals get them and involve themselves in other acts. So we could end that quite a bit just on our own volition. Burglary is down 5%, which is important. We've concentrated in our investigations unit on burglary and trying to bring our clearance rates up. We brought our clearance rates up a tad. We're probably right about national average right now, but we're going to continue to work on that. And then our violent crimes, which I think people pay a lot of attention to, our murder and non-negligent manslaughter is down 60%. We had two homicides last year, one of which was our officer, Jake Willeen. So there was, I mean, it's a substantial drop there, which is good. Rapes down 34%, robbery down 14%, robbery clearances are up 11%, meaning that we've made arrests and more, we have fewer, we've cleared more. Ag assaults down 5% with a slight uptick there in clearance rate as well. So those, I think, are some pretty important statistics for a crime that I think a lot of people take. Oh, shots fired is another one. 39% drop in shots fired. So that's.
Does that mean by police officers, or does that mean by?
No, this is just people firing guns off, you know, randomly or at a car or at a house. In our shootings, we had the same number of incidents, 7, as the year before, but our clearance rate rose up to 71%. So again,
what does that mean, clearance rate?
That's people that we've arrested and charged or had charged with those crimes. So
okay.
Yeah, so it's one thing to see your crime go down, but the other measure is you want to see your clearance rates going up, because you know, crime reductions, as we talked about, can be a number of different things. But if we're not working hard to clear those crimes, you're not going to have a higher clearance rate. So that's where we really try and have an effect as well.
Okay. So all very, very positive.
Yeah.
Anything there that throws up a red flag for you?
On the crime numbers? No. I think the increase
I mean, you're going to have some crime.
And the increase in the drug arrests, I think, is the red flag that we've been trying to talk about for a while, too, is this huge increase in M30 pills and fentanyl, not just in our community, but nationwide. We seized almost 86,000 M30 pills last year, which is 126% higher than the year before. And I don't even know the statistic from 21, but in 21, we seized about 1,000 pills, maybe. And we're up to 86,000 2 years later. That's just what our department, as part of the drug task force, has seized in 2023. So you can imagine how many other M30 pills, each one is quite capable of killing somebody. How many other pills are out there that, you know, again, it's like the overdoses. We only know what we know.
What's an M30 pill?
It's a pill that is pressed to look like another pill. Like an Oxycontin or some other kind of medication that someone might get through prescription, but of course they're buying it on the street, so it's not prescription. Some of them will have M30 on them. Some will look like other drugs that folks will buy, that may be addicted to drugs, or sometimes it's your first-time user who borrows a pill from someone or buys a pill from someone to deal with pain or some type of issue like that. And it's not unusual for the first-time user to be killed because they just consumed something that had fentanyl in it. It takes a very small amount of that to kill somebody.
Are some of these drugs that you're out there trying to detect, trying to find out, is it getting easier to detect? And the drug world seems to evolve. I mean, we've gone from meth to now I usually hear the word fentanyl to, yeah. I mean, how do you stay ahead of that?
Well, it's the volume is way more than we could possibly, you know, we're doing everything we can, working with ourselves, our state and local partners. But it's much like child porn. There's so much out there. We would need to probably triple our department just to have a huge effect. I mean, there's too much coming in. The volume here nationally, the millions of pills that are coming over the border, coming through the mail, and the human trafficking and all the other things that come with that, it's out of control.
Where do you, when you look at, okay, here's where we have to focus, where it's coming in from, or where the profile fits? I mean, where do you look?
Well, it's coming in a multitude of ways. So really our narcotics investigators, our drug task force folks work on information that they develop. They work off of arrests from sometimes our officers who stop a car and end up with a significant seizure that leads to some investigative information. They take tips, informants, things of that nature. But we also, you know, work with our federal partners in terms of things that are coming in through the mail, that kind of stuff. But there's just so many means in which it can enter our community. We've got two interstates that flow through Fargo, which is also, it's great, but it's also kind of the conduit for drug trafficking and human trafficking.
And everybody thinks that we're immune to this in the state of North Dakota, high plains, low population state. Yeah. You're shaking your head no.
Nope, not at all.
I mean, to me, that would be one of the hardest things to patrol. Can you tell? You walk up to that car, you go to that apartment, you go to that domestic dispute, whatever reason it took you to there, is it easy to tell?
I think we're pretty astute at detecting drug activity, yes. And, you know, but a lot of it could be user activity. And sometimes that leads us to those that are actually delivering it and bringing that larger product in. But it's not uncommon in any one of our calls to see drug activity or have that as part of the arrest or the situation. Or even when we get into some of the other crimes where addiction can lead to theft and burglary because now I have to buy, you know, the pills or the drugs that I need to continue with the high that I want to achieve.
I know the numbers aren't where you necessarily would even love them to be, but they're down. They're down significantly. And so when we come back, I'd like to talk about what more can be done.
Sure.
You know, what else is out there that people could be made aware of to say, hey, you know, these numbers can even get better. So we're talking about crime. We're talking about what happens. And every community out there listening to us, and I realize that it's proportional to the size, but one of those cities that I get a chance to visit is about as beautiful a city as you can get is a town called Williston. And when you go to Williston, they went through a rise. They went through a bump during the height of the oil boom. And, of course, you know, what law enforcement did, what law enforcement said is, hey, we need help. There are things we can do. They got help. they fixed a lot of it. I mean, that's why I'm building into this question, which is the numbers that you gave about crime being down in Fargo could even be better if.
Sure. Well, I think number one, we need help with mental health. We last year took 2,700 calls for service that had nothing, were purely a mental health crisis situation. Almost all of those calls involve multiple officers, involves a significant amount of time. We've got the data on that published on our website as well. We track that very carefully because in the reason, and there's a core here of group of folks who have such significant chronic mental health issues that they should not be walking around in the street because they are not capable of functioning on their own. And we are running into them time and again. And so just if we could address that core group of 16 to 20 people, would take significant time and give it back to our officers to do more proactive policing. And that's not only a huge cost when you add up the salaries and the time, but think about the not only the lack of service to the person that has these chronic conditions, because they're not getting what they need going into the hospital for an eval and walking out the door again with the same issues they walked in with. They're not getting what they need to help them function. We need like a mental health residential treatment facility for those folks. And our officers who have to deal with these same people every day, their mental health is affected by this. If I have to come and talk to you every day, you're in mental health crisis, and today maybe you recognize me and it's a good day and I can get you under control, and tomorrow you don't, and now we're, you know, in some kind of a struggle because you're having an episode and we have to take you in for evaluation. I mean, that's hard for the cops. But these are all, I mean, the time and the money spent on this is incredible. And really, if we had appropriate facilities, would free up a ton of time for our officers to do other things.
You know, and I mentioned earlier, you know, if you think you have a hard time having psychologists that can deal with some of these issues, go to Western North Dakota. I mean, you know, to have a psychiatrist so you can sit down and those things don't, they're not easy. No. They're not easy to find the professionals that can do and provide those services to even hire. I mean, that's another part of all this.
Right. Yeah, the facility and the staff are the big piece.
What about equipment? And I'm always curious about this because when I see law enforcement and I see them out there, it seems to me that, first off, they're wearing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the equipment you need to keep law enforcement officers safe?
I think we're very well equipped. Where we're really focusing is on bringing in more technology and tools. One of those
examples.
Yeah, sure. So we've got a partnership with the ATF to stand up what they're going to call, I think, the Dakota Gun Crimes Intelligence Center. And that is utilizing their technology, the National Integrated Ballistic Information Network, which is a nationwide system that ATF has that examines ballistic evidence. So if you're at the scene of a shooting and there's casings or there's a gun that we could test fire and create a casing for, that ballistic evidence is run through that database, and those casings can be correlated to casings in other crime scenes in other states and locales. And therefore, you've increased your investigative leads. And so that has led to a lot of clearances in other cities and here in Fargo. And our partnership with ATF will also allow us, we'll be right here in Fargo, and we can take in that ballistic evidence for other agencies in our region and increase the turnaround on those correlations so that they can do their investigative follow-up. A strong example is our homicide that we had in May, the drug situation where the 15-year-old was shot and killed. Ballistics from that case matched up to three other shooting incidents and a homicide in Minneapolis and resulted in some case clearances down there just through that NIBIN system. So right now we send our stuff to Minneapolis for the correlations. Going forward, we should get the machine here this summer. We'll be able to do that much quicker. ATF will be giving us a civilian tech to enter the stuff in. That's going to turn around our investigative leads. And again, the quicker we can get on this violent crime, and we've shown this a number of times, and get those people in custody, we'll prevent the next crime.
People can find this survey where, or this data where?
I think if you Google ATF NIBIN, N-I-B-I-N.
I'm talking about your report, your crimes report.
Oh, the crime report right on our website.
It's there.
Yep.
They can see the whole thing.